Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of That Digipod. This is a place to be if you're interested in what it takes to create a world-class product, people and culture. My name is Dipesh Joshi, I'm a digital product owner here at BT and your host for this session. Now today's episode is a really special one because I'm joined by our new Chief Digital Officer for our consumer division, Mr. Kevin Lee. Kevin, welcome to That Digipod.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here, and you are new, and how many days in now are you?
I'm counting, so day 42.
Day 42, yeah. So really still very fresh, and how are you finding everyone so far?
It's great, people are great, the facility which you are sitting in right now is an awesome place to be in. The vibe of the city is awesome, so can't complain.
I know, right? We are actually in our new building at One Braham today, so very nice building indeed. Kevin, in this session, as you know, we have a build, measure, learn ethos in the digital team, and we really want to get into your personal story and your background. Now, I'm right in thinking that you've actually been around the digital industry for over 20 years now, right?
It is.
Wow.
I'm old.
No, you're not that old, but I'm sure over that time you've seen a lot change, right? What would you say have been the biggest sort of catalyst for changes over that time, and what have you sort of seen that have almost changed the landscape of digital?
Yeah. I mean, I think the what has stayed as constant, but what has changed, let me talk about what has changed, is all the things that we're already able to access and enjoy. So things like 5G, fiber optics, broadband, connected things that we're now able to enjoy. Those things wasn't available, not because the ideas were short of it, but it was rather technology and the cost of the technology wasn't allowing people to really drive that forward. So now, in 21st century and where we sit in as a 2021, technology of those such things are readily available at our fingertip. Hence, I think that's what drastically changed. What hasn't changed, as I talked about, is the constant thinking and innovations that people have as an source of inspiration. And yeah, that hasn't changed 20 years ago to where I'm at in 2021. So I think that's constant variable that I think as a human being, we just want to longing for that type of reaching for a higher level, reaching for great things. But we sometimes often stuck into the technology dilemma because of cost is a barrier, not the idea.
So. Yeah, that's exactly it. And to talk about your sort of career progression, shall we say, and you mentioned there innovation and all of these great stuff, and you've been involved in some fantastic companies through all of that time. As you mentioned there, what have been the key sort of innovations throughout those different companies, like the mentality, the mindset that you've maybe had to create world-class experiences, digital experiences?
I think I've been lucky enough to be part of healthcare before, or medical healthcare, and then consumers, and then consumer electronics, and the payment, and the commerce, and now in teleco. I think, what connects all that is that there is, and especially as a product organization, there's a sense of striving for the next big thing. And I think that's very much important prerequisite, that whether you're a different industry, that is connecting us as a one community of product digital innovator. So I think that is really something that's very important. And that I think for me personally, although I started out as a designer, so for those of you who are watching, yes.
Go designers.
Go designers. But I work with engineers so long that I almost feel like I picked up on a lot of things over the shoulder. Of course, by nature of work that I do, whether as a product or as a product team, you always have to have a mindset. So I think, what really drew me all these years is the constant effort to try to solve something that no one has solved for. And now I'm not talking about only shiny objects I'm talking about. I have luckily built this, first wearable that is commercially available from Samsung. So I do know a thing or two about building a shiny object. Yeah. But what I'm talking about is the consumer problem that people are really longing for. And I think as a product person, we do have to focus on what the needs of customers are and being able to understand how do we go about building it and then delivering to the marketplace. at the right time so that they are able to see the with the reception of, wow, this is what we've been waiting for, because they're not able to articulate often what they don't know, what they don't know. So I think for all these years, I feel like I have been the same person, although I have a different jobs and roles that evolves me to become who I am today, but there's a constant longing for solving for problems that humans have. And I think, you know, if you use the product as a tool to solve it, great. If you use design as a tool to solve it, great. If you want to solve through the technology, that's fine. So I think often, as summary, I always consider myself as a problem solver, regardless of title, regardless of position. And when you open up yourself as a problem solver, you're then able to stay constant, although things have changed and evolve around you. And so you ended up finding your own spot in every company that you're part of. And you know clearly what you are there to do. So.
I love that, that mentality and that mindset, completely customer obsessed, which is one of our principles now within the digital team, and that working together with other people and self-learning as well, which is massively important. Yeah, for sure. And what would you say have been your key measures of successes? So throughout that time, you've obviously built stuff and measured for success via metrics, but personally within you, have you ever had a, do you know what, this was the moment that I achieved this, and that was a, people call it a ta-da moment sort of thing like that. So how have you gone about measuring your own sort of?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. A lot of times when that question is asked, most people talk about successful product launches, services, which is one of the answers, which I have a ton of them, but I'm gonna actually answer differently. You know, I think most significant accomplishments that I feel like I have gained and proud of it is, there's a couple moments where when you are in a role, you are as a part of the team to try to build something out, but if that what you're building is gonna have a so much collateral damage in customer experience, or just humanity. I think that's when you need to, as a leader, brave enough to say, raising your hand and say, are we sure? Are we sure that this is the right thing to do? And so I have a few moments in my career where I was basically a person in the room that says, I have a problem with that. And that was difficult conversation, awkward conversation, nonetheless. Sometimes very embarrassing conversation. But I think to me as a product leader, or if you consider yourself as a leader of your area, you have to have that audacity to challenge the notion of what most people think of it as a, it's okay to do that because we aren't the only one, or it's okay to do that because come on, that problem is grand scheme of things is so tiny that we can go over that. In fact, I think if you're the leader of your area, you have to actually look at that and says, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? And I think that to me is there's a couple moments in my life that I felt like I stood up for what I believe in. And you know, the whole notion of descend and commit is something that I feel is very important as a product person. But you know, also the other, you know, example is that the moments that I feel like ta-ta is, you know, when you do launch a product, you have to have accountability to follow through. We often good at launching the product or working up to the launching point, and then you've done so well and so much, but once you launched it, you almost like walk away. It's like almost like my job is done. Someone else is gonna take care of problems after that. And I think if you are, you know, right mindset, if you have the right mindset, you shouldn't let it go, and you always follow through, because you always have to recognize that the solution that you create always creates new set of problems that wasn't there before. So at the end of the day, if you only solve the half of the problem and expecting someone else to clean up the collateral damage that you have created, are you really? So I think I'm taking this very seriously as a person and leader, that that the end-to-end accountability is something that I feel what molded me to who I am today. And that I think is something that I would hope that we all raise a bar.
Yeah, for sure. 100% responsibility, I think is something which, you know, we definitely try to strive upon. And as you mentioned there, the outcomes are sort of great from that. Owning something end to end is something pretty special anyway. And it sounded like at the early stages, you were very brave in putting your hand up and questioning people and, you know, getting over that first initial step of, you know, okay, am I going to ask a silly question or not ask a silly question? But the outcome, again, is something which, you know, maybe not for today, but for tomorrow, that's something that personal learning is really important, right? For some, you know, us and within our new digital unit, especially.
I mean, I think it's also the notion that you really have to understand the whole 360 of the problem space that you're in. And we often have a myopic vision. So if you're a designer, you're only looking from a design angle. Although you try to say things that are much more broader than design, at the end, you're still anchored towards design, engineering, product, data, marketing, right? We all have a role to play. And I think what we need to be mindful is that the world has changed so much so that having a specialization is important. But what's required more and more is people that who are actually able to see things broadly and then being able to see the bigger picture and then being able to connect the few dots to really help deliver the right experience. And I think the product organization is the best place to start that journey as a personal opportunity to grow and develop further. So I think, you know, my reflection and my ask is having more end-to-end accountability, even though your job does not ask for it, doesn't matter. That's on the piece of paper. What action you need to do is to think and behave such a way, and the people will recognize, and you're going to have more chance to be able to contribute to the success of the company that you're part of. So.
That's amazing. And you mentioned some of the key products launches and things just a minute ago, and we talked earlier on about BT and going into potentially new areas for BT, which we're looking at now within the digital unit and platform businesses. You've obviously got a rich history in platform businesses as well, coming in from eBay. What do you see is the most exciting thing for especially us as an organization going into these new areas such as data and healthcare and creating potentially even a more of a platform-based business model?
Yeah, I mean, the platform is a bit of a cliche, right? That everyone talks about platform. But we really have to, so there's a couple of things I think we need to be really serious about. One is around, you know, in order to create a fantastic customer experience, which is highly subjective, by the way, right? you have to understand the marketplace that you're in. You have to have a thorough understanding of the marketplace. Now, you don't have to be an expert, but you gotta get very curious about what's the industry that I'm in, right? And look out for people that who actually have the information to help me understand what that looks like. So you gotta have the base of understanding of it. And second thing is, you really have to understand all the parties that are involved. It could be customers, of course, but it could be a stakeholders along the way. It could be third-party partners, right? There's many different actors. So you have to be able to connect the dots and understand how they're thinking about the same problem that you're thinking about. But most importantly, once you understand those baseline, then it is really about understanding what type of data are you able to collect or create to serve better customer experience at the end. And so as a platform, you know, company, as we try to become that platform of the future, we really have to understand, and everyone has to understand, that data and understanding data and how to utilize data or and therefore AI isn't just a function of one team sitting in the corner. We do have to have a set of expertise to do that, and we have an awesome team that we have building, right, across our company. But individually, you have to have that ownership of how much data do you know? How much data do I want to know? Because the more data you'll be able to acquire, you have a better basically set of options that you can play with. So I think, you know, anybody who's afraid of data as a way for us to get to the platform, you know, player, not too long, but it's very soon, right? Yeah. Is that you need to embrace the data as if you're second nature. And I think that is a new skill set, knowledge that we all need to acquire. The good news is no one teaches you how to become a data scientist. It starts with an act of curiosity, genuine interest, because you know it's going to help you more. And so just don't be hesitating at just you know, suck it like a sponge, right? It's like a, and then just embrace it.
Exactly. Have a go.
Have a go. Build, measure, learn, right?
Build, measure, learn.
Exactly.
Exactly that. And let's get into more of a BT specific stuff now. We kind of touched on it there. As you said, very early days still. You've not been BT that long. 42?
Ah, bingo.
That's it. I nearly said 30 something there, but then I did remember. but a question you've probably been asked 1,000 times, right? Why BT? What attracted you to BT as a company?
It's a great question. I asked that question by a lot by my other colleagues outside of this industry. If I look at my track record, there are a few things that I made intentionally. There are a few things that wasn't made for me. So it wasn't always by Kevin's choice, right?
Right.
That I wanted to go to healthcare. No, the opportunity was right in front of me that I just couldn't pass on. Whereas some companies like Samsung, I just want to go and experience what it feels like to be the top of the world in terms of consumer electronics and drive this whole first IoT product for the company, right? But I think why BT is that every single of those companies and BT have something in common, the long-standing history within their respective industry, right? Anywhere from 56-year-old e-commerce company called eBay to BT, 180-year-old company, to GE, somewhere in between, 100, some 20, I don't know, some years there. And to me, that's where there's a learning that you can apply immediately. Because these companies, while they're in a different respective industry, there's a common DNA that says we want it to be different, we want to be pivot, we want to transform ourselves. So I think that to me is what excites me to draw me to BT, because it's already been going on. Yeah. We're not starting now, it's been going on for the last few years, right? So I think that got me very excited about it. It becomes real, materialistic. And second thing is about, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's people. I think we have an incredible set of people that are diverse, but also come from all different backgrounds, some telco expertise. We have top, some of the right, researchers, we're back in the, we're the city. but, you know, we really have a set of expertise, both from, you know, technical aspects of telco to 5G, broadband, fiber optics to a digital. So I think that really drew me closer to BT, because you really don't get to have that set of that, what it appears to be a complete opposite. But now you are unifying that as on the umbrella of the brand. So that to me is a very unique. And then third thing is really about our ambition. Ambition that is not so much about let's build this, you know, spaceship to the moon. No, let's build something that we can be more meaningful, you know, connector. And as we stands for connecting for good, right? Yeah. And then everything that we speak about outside, what we're standing for to what we're doing, there's all one-on-one relationship. And to me, that's very important, because there's a lot of companies that who say things, but when you're part of it, they're doing completely opposite, right? What I call the PR stunt. So, but BT is a very genuine, honest, transparent about what we say we're gonna do, that's what we're doing. And that to me is a great opportunity. And then lastly, it's really about once in a lifetime opportunity. And I'm not the first one who said it, right? I've been told this is once in a lifetime opportunity. Now, I can't tell you guys what we're working on, because that's a secret project.
That is a secret project.
Yeah, you know it, we all know it, but we can't tell you. So if you want to know, the only way to find out is join the company, right?
That's right.
But we are really working on once in a lifetime opportunity, for not for ourselves, but for our consumers. And I think that to me is really, really important for me personally, that I want to be part of the company and brand that actually stands for customers, and then don't do anything around in the name of customer just because it's easy to justify, right? And this company really understand the boundary that we live in, but we want to expand the boundary, not because we want to, but because there's a consumer who's demanding it and we're responding to the call to action.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a very genuine, authentic. And so with the four, you know, for those reasons, I feel I couldn't pass this opportunity when, you know, BT approached me. And then I just felt like, besides London, that's another reason, but it's a great place to be in, great city to be in, great brand to be associated yourself with.
Yeah.
Because we are going to be different BT tomorrow. And that is something that I just couldn't pass up the opportunity.
No, it's amazing. And we are definitely transforming ourselves in the business. And I've personally seen it. I've been here nearly 4 years now, but I've seen the change in the Kiva mentality, exactly. Being customer obsessed, you know, being digital first. And as you mentioned there, it's very rare that you get these kind of opportunities in life, really, to of places to work. So it's a really, really exciting place at the moment. But what do you see as potential challenges coming up, not just for our consumer unit, but for the digital unit overall?
I mean, I think the challenge that we have to manage for ourselves, but also for the audience who is listening to this one, the digital isn't an exclusive license. It is a new fabric of life, period. Because what is the one instance you can call out today that you live a day without digital? You do. Either you don't realize it, but you get benefit from analog, but analog that's built on digital, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you get explicit interface with a digital, like your mobile phone, right? Or watching TV, right? Even riding a car, right? It's this whole sorts of things that are, it just becomes the fabrics of our life. So for me, the challenge is, how do you make that fabrics of life become so true? It sounds kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because when it's so around us, you should know. But that's where the opportunity is. People don't understand what the digital is. Now we know, because we are the professions and experts who understand what to do with it. But most consumers, they just felt like it's part of the life. And for us to make a sense of, hey, here's a digital proposition for you. For them, it's like, what do you mean? It's almost like, you know, you're drinking water and saying, hey, Dipesh, here's a brand new water.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to have one? And you're gonna go, no, I'm fine. I'm fine with my.
Something's been embedded in my life.
Exactly.
Right? That's exactly. Yeah.
But I think that's why I think as a digital community at BT, we just need to be mindful that what we are trying to create is anything new, but we are trying to reinvigorate, create the value that has forgotten. Because, you know, it seems like a. When was the last time that you felt like you're entitled to water without paying money, right? Now people are paying money and therefore the same content feels now more valuable.
Yeah.
Because it's more limited quantity, or your favorite brand water is no longer available on the shelf. And you go, oh my God, where's my water, right?
Yeah.
Well, you can still get a tap water. But I think that's where things are so embedded to our life that people start to give meaning. And I think digital to me is the way that we amplify the meaning. So that they value that thing that they treasure, but they have forgotten how to see the value of it,
yeah.
In a more pronounced way. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not a, you know, one thing. First, it's not an exclusive license. So let's act humble. But B, let's use our expertise to help recreate the value that they once forgotten because it's so embedded to their life. And three, you know, the key talents. I mean, that's what I'm here for, is to help bring in some of the new talent, new DNA to our digital fabrics that we already built very strongly. But we need more of you guys to really join that journey. So I think that's a challenge, but also opportunity that we have in front of us.
That's really interesting. And where do you see the digital landscape 5 years from now? In your mind, do you have a view of what our unit will be, or even just the digital industry?
Wow, I feel like I'm going to now predict the future.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to have to get some lottery numbers off you after if you get it right.
Rather than predicting what it's going to be like, which most likely I'm going to be wrong anyway, and it's been recorded, so you know, I want to be careful. But I think in five years is on us to make it. So it's almost like a blank canvas that's given to us, all of us at BT. And now we're given a pen and pencil and crayons and everything else and say, draw it. Whatever you're going to draw it will be that, you know, artifact that we're going to deliver. And so I think it's really, the answer is, in 5 years, it's up to you, Dipesh, up to me, up to all of us to co-create and co-build our future together and take a year at a time to see how we're progressing towards. But one thing I know is that we're going to progress to the right direction.
Yeah.
So I think that's my answer.
I like that, Shape the Future Together.
Shape the Future Together.
Shape the Future Together. And just before we wrap off, Kevin, as we talked about earlier, you've had a real illustrious career, but I'm sure you've taken a lot of learnings throughout that. For any of our listeners listening to this, what would you say your key learnings have been throughout your career?
Yeah. Couple of things I always talk about since I got here, so I'm going to say exactly as is. One, be transparent. I can't say enough. I made a mistakes in the past, not being transparent. Go around the self-interest. So detach that. Be transparent with the intent. People will forgive you, right? And then be accountable. You know, this isn't about being responsible. This is being accountable. You own the end-to-end. Don't sell yourself small. And don't let people to tell you this is what your remit is. Go beyond that. So fully accountable is really great. And the third thing is always try to simplify it. There's so much distractions at your work for your projects you're working on that, you know, there's 20 requirements and you just, oh my God, how am I going to make it happen? What I'm doing is designing this little tiny screen, right? But try to simplify it, because at the end of the day, there's only one or two things that matters to our consumers. And so your job is to really discover what those one or two things are and then prioritize above, beyond the other 18 things that are distracting you from focusing on the core. So simplify is third. And the last thing is sequencing it. No matter how much brilliant ideas you have, if you don't understand how to sequencing it, because remember, you know, like a buffet syndrome, like when you go to buffet, you feel like you're going to got everything, yeah. Right? Look what happened. You barely touch on half of them. Because you don't sequencing enough, you're going to get your stomach filled up pretty quickly with the one go around, right? It's like the same thing on the product world. We have to be able to sequencing it in a way that our consumers and customers are able to digest what we deliver in the marketplace. There are, so I now experience this experience. And then 3 months later, for example, you get another, you know, batch of products that goes, oh, I see how this is going to go. Now I'm getting myself, my life being easier, better, more convenient. So I think we need to be better at sequencing it. And I think if we do all that, I think we'd be in a, and that's the lessons I learned too.
Yeah.
And more you'll be able to comfortable commanding those skill set, you'll be more successful.
Right, Kevin, unfortunately, that's all we have for today. Thank you so much for coming on to
sure.
That DigiPod.
Loved
Hopefully
it.
You've enjoyed it.
I loved it.
Amazing. 42 days in, we got Kevin onto the DigiPod. As everyone knows, you can check out the DigiPod on all good streaming platforms. Kevin, thank you once again.
Thanks for inviting me.
Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Absolutely.
Amazing.